When Daryl Brooks allegedly drove his SUV into parade goers in Waukesha, killing 6 people, injuring more than 60, he was out on bail for another alleged vehicular attack. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm called the $1,000 bail for Brooks' initial charges inappropriately low. Daryl Brooks' bail for the Waukesha parade attack has been set now at $5 million. There's also been a movement in recent years to limit large cash bail arrangements with concerns that they keep low-income people in jail, even when accused of minor nonviolent offenses. Cecilia Klingel is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She teaches courses in criminal law, constitutional criminal procedure, and sentencing and corrections. Cecilia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start kind of with a bail 101. First of all, at what stage in the process is somebody potentially eligible to get out of jail on bail?
So you can be released from custody on bail at any point in the pretrial proceedings, but typically a bail decision is made very soon after arrest by a magistrate judge.
And this is for someone who's been charged but not convicted, right?
That is correct. When we're talking about bond in this context, what we're talking about are people who have been accused of committing a crime, but that hasn't yet been proven in court.
What is the purpose of bail? Some people seem to be looking at it as a punitive measure. What is the original intent of saying, hey, we're charging you this much money, or you're giving us this much money to hold while you're out? Why do we do it that way?
Sure. So it is important to remember that in the American legal system, there's a presumption of innocence that attaches to anyone accused of a crime, regardless what we may think we know about that person's guilt or innocence. When we talk about bond from a legal perspective, we're actually not just talking about money. We're also talking about rules or conditions that a court may impose on someone who is being released from jail during that time between charging and conviction or acquittal, as the case may be. And so when a judge is deciding whether or not to impose any kind of bond, cash or otherwise, the judge's main job is to make sure that the person is going to show up to court so we can decide whether or not the person is guilty or innocent. That's the first and primary purpose of bond. And then secondarily, the court can impose conditions that also are intended to make sure that the public is kept reasonably safe during that time of release.
And that's the central issue in the Waukesha case. How much latitude do judges have to say, you know what, we haven't convicted you of this initial charge yet, but we're so worried that you might do something similar or worse, we're not going to grant you bail?
So that's a great question. And there's sort of the answer in practice and the legally correct answer. So in a perfect world, what would happen is that under the statutes, we would look to see what you've been charged with. And there are certain crimes that are serious enough and that raise significant enough concerns about someone's safety in the community that when a person has been charged with those crimes and the prosecutor proves to the court that there aren't any conditions that would keep the public safe from this person while we're deciding whether or not he or she is guilty, then under those conditions, you can deny release altogether. And that's really the way we ought to be proceeding in cases where we think someone just is too dangerous to be released to the community. But the other more common way that we actually go about this is to use our regular bond statute. And what we often do is, if we don't think that there are conditions that are sufficient to keep the public safe, then often what you'll see is a really high cash bond imposed. Technically, under the statute, you're only supposed to impose cash bail in an amount that makes sure someone shows up for their court hearings. You're not supposed to use it to keep them detained during that pretrial period, unless, again, they've been charged with a specific crime and we've proven that there's no safe way to release them.
Talking to Cecilia Klingel from the UW Law School, looking at bail in Wisconsin, how it works, and criticisms from a variety of perspectives. One of those criticisms, Cecilia, has been an effort to reform bail, saying, in effect, low-income suspects, especially in lower minor offenses, maybe nonviolent offenses, can end up stuck in jail because they can't pay cash bail. Do you see that as a problem with the system?
that certainly can happen, that there are situations in which we impose what may seem to a judge or to lawyers like a low amount of bond, enough to make sure someone shows up to court. But it turns out that for a lot of people, even a small amount of money is too much money to come up with. And so even for people charged with less serious crimes and who don't pose a particular risk to the public, sometimes it may be the case that they end up stuck behind bars when that's not an essential result, and the community could be perfectly safe. Ideally, what we would be doing is using those conditions of release to try to mitigate risks during that pretrial period as much as we could, and not detain people who don't need to be detained.
As we set this up, this all comes up after the Waukesha parade attack. Concerns that the bail was too low. I want to give a listen to Republican Assembly Representative Scott Allen, Republican from Waukesha, talking about this issue on WPR's morning show earlier today.
We have to show that love to each other. We need to work through this together, and I think it's important that we begin that process.
I think we have the wrong clip there. I'll read what the transcript here. The suspect had earlier that month actually tried to run over his wife, ran over his wife with his car, his ex-wife. That could very well have been attempted homicide. Allen went on. He has a fairly extensive criminal record. He's 39 years old. The time for his reform well passed. Representative Allen says, my assessment is he was dangerous when he was released on bail. At what point do we say this is enough? We have to put public safety number one. In this particular case, Cecilia, it seems like a lot of people agree this bail was low, and this was a suspect in another case who was potentially harmful to others.
Sure. And this is a place where, you know, the details of law really do matter. Whether or not the bail cash bond was too low in that case, I can't say. We should be asking questions about what the conditions of supervision were for this individual during the release period. My understanding is that the court did order him to be monitored quite closely at a fairly high level of supervision in the community. Obviously, that didn't prevent this. And I do think it's important to remember that when we're talking about really egregious tragedies like the one that happened in Waukesha, some of these things are just so extreme, they're very difficult to prevent or to predict. In addition, I mean, the clip or you read suggested that maybe higher charges would have been warranted in this case. Certainly, if the charges had been for attempted homicide, then it would have been possible to proceed under the provision that would have denied this individual release altogether. Those are complicated charging decisions, and obviously prosecutors have difficult decisions to make in those cases.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did an analysis. They pulled together as many cases they could find of similar charges to those the suspect had had previously. He was set on a $1,000 bail. They found that wasn't unprecedented, but it was definitely on the low end compared to other people, again, facing similar charges. I know circumstances are different. How much can that vary for similar charges from suspect to suspect?
So bond decisions and charging decisions are both very case specific. They may vary from one prosecutor to another. They may vary from one judge to another. And so it's not surprising to see variation. I think the bigger story that has been buried here in the Waukesha case is the question of overloaded courts, overloaded prosecutors, overloaded public defenders. One of the reasons that this defendant appears to have been out in the community, despite having several past criminal cases, including one that was quite old, is that the Milwaukee County courts are really far behind in processing cases. Were they not so overloaded, it is quite possible he already would have been serving a sentence for some of those outstanding charges already.
Because, right, as I understand it, if I'm accused of a crime, I can say, hey, I have a right to a speedy trial, a speedy resolution. And when I make that claim, it sets a clock in effect, right, where you have to make a decision on my bail. If the courts are backloaded, as you were saying, that increases the chances that I might get out on bail. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. The courts can't just indefinitely detain people for years at a time, possibly for longer than they could be sentenced to on criminal charges, just because they're busy. And so if you request a speedy trial and the courts can't provide one, then they do have to provide you with the opportunity to post bail and secure release. If we were able to move our criminal cases in a more timely way, we'd be able to actually resolve people's guilt or innocence and punish them if they deserve to be punished for behavior in which they've engaged.
You've mentioned a couple times how things are supposed to work and how they do work. Are there changes you think could be made, any kind of changes, that would make our bail system work better than it does now?
That's a great question. And I think one thing we have to do is look very carefully at why we are imposing bail, cash bond in particular, on the people upon whom we're imposing it. Ask better questions about what kinds of conditions we're imposing on people, how many, who's monitoring them, and whether they're actually working the way they're designed in order to make sure that the public is protected reasonably. And again, remembering here that there are always risks, right? There are risks that exist. And before people are convicted of crimes, we don't punish them in America. And so we are going to have to understand that sometimes people on bond will commit crimes. Now, the reality is often that doesn't happen. People on bond in the community generally tend to do pretty well. And again, tragedies like this one are so much the outlier that they are almost impossible to predict.
We'll leave it there. Cecilia, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cecilia Klingel is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She teaches courses in criminal law, constitutional criminal procedure, and sentencing and corrections. She joined us for a look at the bail process in Wisconsin's criminal justice system.